With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Instead of a shovel and pick to dig deeper, Darren Denslow has his iMac G3 and rusty magnifying glass so he can dig deeper for the real story. This is Digging Deeper with D.D. Denslow on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT. This is me, D.D. Denslow. It's the second hour of Digging Deeper, and I will be in just a few minutes, about 5 minutes or so, be going over to speak to Dr. Kat Lindley, who has very kindly agreed to join me today, and we will be looking at the trans issue, and specifically trans prisoners, which I think some of the information that I have seen, whether on social media or in the mainstream media, is actually really, really quite sinister and disturbing, particularly the attitude of the Scottish Parliament, the SNP, and Nicola Sturgeon, and their attitude towards, you know, their attitude with gender ideology. And then we're going to be looking, of course, at Darren's favorite topic, vaccines, COVID, and the latest revelations that have come out from the Project Veritas investigations and the information that they seem to have gained from a Pfizer director, although I suspect that director title may be something that they use regularly for a lot of their employees. People are thinking, oh, he looked too young to be a director. Oh, he didn't look like he knew what he was talking about to be a director. Obviously, the fake narrative, oh, this is all a hoax. This is just information that they're feeding to the public, and they're all part of the cabal, and these people are all shills. The usual allegations have been made about this news story that's come out over the weekend, even though there's been a complete media blackout. So we'll be talking about that with Dr. Kat Lindley in about 4 minutes. Another story I've just come across, thousands of NHS staff with long COVID risk losing their pay. Thousands of NHS staff across the UK are facing pay cuts because of a change in COVID sickness policy. So there's an actual COVID sickness policy, which I'm assuming can be differentiated from just a normal sickness policy. Analysis by BBC Panorama suggests that between 5,000 and 10,000 NH workers could be off sick with long COVID. Unions accuse the government of failing to support health staff who have worked during the coronavirus pandemic. The government says the COVID-19 public inquiry will examine these issues when it begins taking evidence in May. Changes to special sick pay rules introduced during the pandemic means that some NHS staff unable to work due to long COVID may soon no longer receive full pay. And the question you have to ask, Kat Lindley in a minute is long COVID real? I have seen plenty of articles from reputable journals and medical professionals that suggest long COVID doesn't even exist. And is this 5,000 to 10,000 people is a lot. It didn't really have a sickness problem during the pandemic. They had a TikTok problem, but not a sickness problem. They do now, and could it well be related or associated with the fact that they're on their fifth or sixth booster jab already, and that long COVID is just being used as a cover story to hide the fact that NHS employees have been harmed by the vaccine that they have been pushing and promoting for the last 2 years. Okay, we're going to Dr. Kat Lindley. So if you've missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We're also on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now, there is never any reason ever to miss out on anything on TNT radio.
Headlines as they come in.
They have the breaking news.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome back to TNT Radio. This is me, DD Denzo, and I'm here with Dr. Kat Lindley. Hi, Kat. How are you? Thanks for coming back onto my show. If I remember rightly, last time we spoke, you was a little bit poorly on your sofa. I hope you're feeling better today. No long COVID lying around. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. Glad to have you on. And very quickly then, although we may touch, seeing as I was just talking about it, I'll ask it as a closed question. Is long COVID a thing?
So actually, there are cases of long COVID in people who had COVID and they experience mental fatigue. Some of them can have range of issues, you know, just general not getting better, feeling a little bit more immunosuppressed, getting colds, things like that. Some of them can have headaches, different symptoms. So there is that aspect of long COVID, but that's mainly people who had COVID. And in general, it would be like Delta or the original strain, right? And over a period of months, if you give them supplements, they do like intermittent fasting, exercise, they tend to improve and do well. In the case of NHS, that article that you were reading, what they're calling long COVID most likely is the vaccine injury. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing, even in the United States, the same thing. What they consider long COVID is vaccine injury, because they will never admit that vaccine injury exists.
Yeah, so it's probably most likely a cover story just to hide vaccine injuries. And we'll come back to COVID in a bit later on in this conversation. Are you aware of the sort of news stories that are coming out of Scotland with regards to the, I mean, there are three or four named prisoners, but just the general story of they're putting any prisoner who identifies as a woman into female prisons. Are you aware of the stories that have been floating around over the weekend and, well, for the last couple of weeks?
Since I follow a lot of friends from UK, I am, because I've seen it on your Twitter feeds. And that last one where the guy raped, I believe, two ladies, and then just before he was about to send to prison, decided that he is transgender and they're going to allow him to go into female prison. Honestly, it's really unconscionable. I have no idea what your leaders in Scotland are doing, because putting a predator in a prison with female is cruel. You know, it doesn't matter what they did and why they're there, but if they're going to put him there, like if he feels unsafe or whatever, they can put him in isolation, right?
Of course.
They still have those, you know, cells where he doesn't have to be with the general public in prison. So I have no idea. World has lost its mind and we're just watching it. It's like watching a movie and you never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, lost its mind. That would be an understatement. Living in a movie, living in some sort of simulation or something, like we're in the Matrix, but it's, you know, it's a bad Matrix. I can sort of, you know, I'm actually starting to really believe that that might be the case, Kat. There's a series of tweets that come out, and I read through them. It was a thread by somebody called Ocean Breath Cafe. I'm just going to read some of it because it really, really struck home to me when I started reading this thread, like just what a problem and how dangerous it is to be sticking these types of dangerous predators, as you called them, into prisons. It says, let's chat about the type of men that are in women's prisons in Scotland, shall we? Let's call it a dreg story hour. Let's take Sophie Eastwood. He has already finished a life sentence in prison for murder by the Scottish, but the Scottish Prison Service won't release him because he's too dangerous. He's too dangerous to be released into the general population or the public. Way back in 2018, Sophie formed a relationship with another male trans murderer in the women's wing of Greenock Prison, which involved so much public intimacy that the prisoners and guards were disgusted, complained, and they were split up. So what, they're going to put him into a male prison? No. Sophie was sent to a woman's wing of Polmont Prison, where he stalked, harassed, intimidated, threatened, terrified, and flashed his genitals at female inmates and prison officers regularly. So they then moved him, and they ended up moving him to another female prison. And I could carry on and reading. There's a whole load of other names. Katie Dalatowski, Paris Green, Charlene Mallon, and his old lover, Alex Stewart. They all got together in a prison and formed a male gang in a female prison, where they harassed and terrified not just the prisoners, that the female prisoners that were there, but the female staff that were there. The female staff had to check them down. Only women officers were allowed to deal with women. And because they identified women, they were getting patted down, etc., by the female prison guards. How have we ended in this situation? Is it similar? It's similar over in your country. I understand that they're putting female prisoners into female prison population, transgender prisoners into female prison populations. And where is this all going to lead? Are we going to the point of insanity that is going to wake people up?
So, somewhere in New York, I want to say New York Library or something, they put this golden statue. It's supposed to be a female with braids are made to look like a horn, right? And I reposted that from someone last week. And it's like worshiping the fake idols. And then with this, what's happening, you know, whether you're Christian or not, or you believe in different religion, I'm sure there is lots of stuff in those books of faith that talk about these false idols. You know, the time when people have turned their back on everything they stand for, everything they believe in, and kind of worship at the altar of insanity, because truly we are to that point. You know, not only is this happening in prisons, but you have these drag shows in children libraries. You have drag shows where they're bringing children to watch all this. You know, my kids, and I would say most kids that I know, we don't talk to them about sex when they're 5 or 6 years old. They need to be innocent children playing, and you know, let them live their life and be happy and have friends. We don't need to bring them into this insanity of life. And I see this happening on every level. And you know, it's coming to where you kind of start saying, I can see where God like flooded the earth and Noah built a boat, because it's like so crazy. It's like, whether it's Matrix or the end of the world, I don't know what it is, but we're going down this rabbit hole, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to get out unless we wake up soon.
Yeah, I think you ever heard of the statement? I can't remember the name of the guy who was in charge of the CIA, but he said, on the CIA propaganda and misinformation, when the American public, when what they believe or everything that they believe is the opposite to the truth, we know that our misinformation campaign has been successful. Do you believe, or do you think then maybe this whole trans issue is just a case of, as you mentioned, trying to convince people or coerce people or manipulate people into believing things that aren't true or the opposite to the truth? Is that what we're experiencing? In every aspect, well, not just the trans issue.
Yeah, I was going to say it's in every aspect, because I was saying generally America is a nation of faith. And there are many faiths in the United States. But in general, it's a nation of people who believe in something. And in the past 3 years, it's hard to believe in anything, you know, for some of us, that's a strength, to believe in something, but others, you know, there's been huge attack on family and family unit itself, you know, and then there's been attack on faith. There's been attack on our values, our traditions. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think they've done a good job. I think they've really done a good job. And unless we truly kind of step out of this matrix. And I'm a huge Matrix fan, you know, so and we need to unplug. We need to unplug and we need to do it fast and tell them, you know what? I don't ever say the word, but I mean it.
Yeah, I mean, it scares me. And the Matrix analogy is actually really, really apt with this particular conversation, Kat, because is it the Wachowski brothers? Were the Wachowski brothers? They are actually now the Wachowski, and I think I'm pronouncing their surname right, Wachowski sisters. So they have both gone full hog in terms of their cult worship or whatever. They've now transitioned to women. Do you think that they wrote The Matrix with some sort of inside knowledge? I'm not saying we're living in a computer simulation, but they just use that as an analogy for the world that we're either living in or we're heading into at the time of the film was made. Getting a bit sort of off subject there, but do you think they had some inside knowledge? They're trans themselves.
Well, I can talk about them, but I'm a huge, for example, Avengers fan, right? And it's hard to watch them now, but the first Avengers were awesome. And there is a Winter Soldier where Captain America goes with Widow. They go into this bunker and there is a Nazi guy that's like talking to the computer because they brought him during that paperclip, you know, operation. And he goes to them. And this was filmed like in 8 years ago, something insane. And he goes, you know, in Second World War, we attacked you directly and you fought hard for your freedom. We lost. This time around, we're not doing that. We're going to make you scared. We're going to spread fear throughout the world and you're just going to give it away. And that's where we are, at least in states, right? Every time we said yes to lockdown, to isolation, to masks, to vaccine, they took more freedoms away. So I would say that Hollywood has been almost like a prophet on what's going to happen. And I think they desensitize us to the point that we're like, when things are happening, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that from somewhere. And you have this, you know, lower level of resistance. So that's where we are.
And I think I also find out like the hero myth or the hero legend that's sort of implicit in a lot of our action films. You know, there's a hero saves a day, sacrifices themselves. People have got that myth, that legend embedded or entwined into our very humanity. And so we expect somebody to come along and save us because that's what happens in the James Bond films when James Bond takes out Blofeld or whoever the Klaus Schwab lookalike is. And actually,
I was going to say, I wish for James Bond at this point. I love James Bond. So yes, it would be so great if there was a James Bond right now.
There might be actual James Bonds out there. I do believe that there are some good guys. I remain sort of relatively positive and white-pilled about what's happening. Okay, we're going to a quick break now. And when we come back on, I want to talk about Nicola Sturgeon and her attitude to what's happening with these trans prisoners. So stay right with us on TNT Radio.
You should hear what David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan are talking about.
Did you see actually intelligence reports from ISIS that they might be using this in a weapon?
No, it was mainstream media that reported that there was U.S. intelligence fears that ISIS were going to use Ebola specifically as a biological weapon. Which, you know, in a sense, they've kind of like admitted there that it can be used as a biological weapon, and which means that if it can be used as a biological weapon, then anyone can use it as a biological weapon. That to me was a little bit curious.
No, and that's one of the worries we have. We know our security services and we know what they're like, and they, because they think that they're always in the right and they think everything goes when you're working for America or survival, that worries me. And again, having had experience in the military, false flag attacks, information ops and psyops are a fact. It's not fantasy, it's not conspiracy theory, dare I say, angry to make, it's fact. We will put in an attack or our people aligned with us, etc., in order to make it look like the enemy in certain circumstances.
McBride and Brennan with David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan on TNT Radio.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation donated more than $310 million to mainstream media.
We don't tell the story that Bill Gates wants you to know.
We tell the real story. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT. This is me, Dee Dee Denslow. I'm talking with Dr. Kat Lindley. We were just talking about the trans issue. We even sort of moved or went on a tangent into predictive programming and then the use of Hollywood and mainstream media. So, my question before we carry on, and we're not going to talk about the trans stuff. You sent me a message. We're going to go in the direction of psyops. Have you ever seen the film Children of Men?
I haven't.
Okay, write that
maybe
down.
I should now.
I think you should. Yeah, watch it. It's not the greatest film. It's British. But if you think that there might be an element of predictive programming, watch that film and then come back to me afterwards and say, Darren, I'm full on the predictive programming now. I think everything was predicted in our films because that film has got everything. Children of Men. Okay, we've heard the other big story over the weekend in the UK is about the 77th Brigade, about how the UK military has been used to coerce and influence opinion online, there was a psyop on journalists. They were anyone outspoken in the UK about what's going on with COVID has been silenced. What's your view on this story? You yourself was somebody who was cancelled on Twitter, correct?
Yeah, I was cancelled May of last year when I shared a story on monkeypox and tried to kind of not really make fun, but try to minimalize what they were trying to do with monkeypox, because at that time they were trying to say we're going to have this new big pandemic because COVID was weaning down. And as soon as I posted that, I got canceled. Interestingly, a day before, I actually posted an article about Anthony Fauci's wife being the head of ethics, which kind of oversees what is happening at the NIH with Anthony Fauci. So yeah, I have, friends in UK, we've been talking probably for like 2 years now on Signal, and one of them kept on talking about 77th Brigade, and there are all those Mutt something they have in their names, right? So they were kept on talking about it, so I knew about this thing happening. But then seeing it actually in the paper where it was exposed, I think it vindicated a lot of people where they said, there was something happening where they were trying to silence us, which is, to me, I've always looked at this whole thing on a global scale. And the reason for me this was very alarming is because I get it when your government doesn't want you to do something, right? It's not right, but I get it. It's your government. They're trying to control you. I kind of, I think it's insanity, but you can understand it that, like, whatever, they're manipulating. But to see this on a global scale, Canada, UK, US, Australia, Germany, France, all of these countries where these global leaders are after G20 meetings, start doing things, and to see that voices of dissension, the voices who are trying to say, well, maybe this is not right, are being silent, it's very alarming. And it's really hard to even put it together because, I grew up in communism. I understand what they did in communism, Yugoslavia, for they had close ties to Russia. Russia was a lot worse than Yugoslavia. So, you know, we get this, and Cubans, mm-hmm. we all get this. But mm-hmm. to see that the free world is doing this, it's just, it's hard to imagine. It's really hard. It's heartbreaking to someone like me who understands what freedom truly is. It's really heartbreaking.
And there'll be half, let's just say, you know, half the country, everyone in the country has read this story. There will be like half the country who would have said, hey, this was necessary. We was in a pandemic. These people actually welcomed this type of censorship and misinformation operation on the public. And, you know, you said, you know, you're from Yugoslavia originally. I'm assuming from what you've just said, you are aware of the problems of restricting free speech and how that impacted on societies like Yugoslavia, like we saw in the old Soviet Union. Why are people in the West who bang on about democracy and freedom of speech, why have they almost welcomed some of this censorship, and particularly from the journalist class?
Because this truly has been a psyops, you know, it's been a psyops on a global scale. I always talk about these different points when it comes to totalitarianism. It starts with fear, isolation, and then threatening and bargaining. And they've done such a great job of making the world fearful. And when you fear something, you want to be safe. So they start telling you, you know, do this for me, do that for me, and I'll make you feel safe. And the same thing is like in some countries, and we had a couple of politicians here who are trying to introduce socialism, which is like a stupidest thing in the world. But they talk about this, universal income, right? The reason they want to give people universal income, the reason like, you know, you guys in UK have subsidized rents and things like that, is because they want to make you dependent on state. That's not mm-hmm. really helping people, you know. They're doing it with specific reason in mind. If they make you dependent on state, and then they say to you, you know what, you need to give a room in your house to a refugee, because we've given you the place to, you know, the apartment or whatever, you're like, oh my gosh, I have to do it, or they're going to take it away. So it's always this give and take, and there is so much take from them, you stop realizing how much they're taking away from you. But essentially, they're taking away your freedom. It always comes back to that one word that people are not understanding. So this huge psyops around the world has been about fear. And people who are still not getting it are still in that state of fear. And that's why they're like, okay, well, they did that because they're trying to help us. They're not. Yeah. They're trying to take away everything we stand for, and they are really doing a good job.
You never ever censor the lies. You only ever censor the truth. And that's the message exactly. that people need to understand. Never in history has falsehoods been censored, because they're easy to defeat in argument. The truth is much more difficult to defeat in argument. And they've tried it at our journalism, and our elected officials have tried that and fallen very much on their faces. So they must just silence. We're going to a quick break. But when we do, Kat, I must say this. Kudos to you. You got censored for a monkeypox post. You're the first person that I've heard that's done that. So a round of applause. And monkeypox, that didn't work out very well. And I take that as a positive, because they pushed and pushed and pushed the monkeypox. They even had to rename it, because it was racist, to Mpox, which just sounds like a band from the 90s. So, well done you. And we'll be coming right back out to talk about Project Veritas after this break on TNT Radio.
Big news, news, news.
A story which contains more than first meets the ear.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Former US President Donald Trump has taken aim at Joe Biden at a rally in South Carolina, accusing the 80-year-old of pushing the world closer to war. A top US general has praised last year's attack on Russia's Nord Stream gas pipelines, saying Washington was very pleased to hear of the outcome. And Jerusalem has been rocked by two separate shooting attacks, including one committed by a 13-year-old boy.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT. Just had a quick look at live chat. Someone has commented on that there's no such thing as COVID. It's just the flu, or the other one that people say is there's no such thing as viruses. I get what you're saying. I've not got a necessary opinion either way, but COVID does exist in that we've had a response to it, and that response to it does matter. So we need, COVID is a byword, regardless of your views on what's actually happened in terms of an outbreak or a virus or a pandemic. COVID does exist, and everybody has been jabbed, and our restrictions and freedoms and our livelihoods, etc., they have been taken away. So, you know, saying, oh, COVID doesn't exist, you're missing the point. No, I think maybe you're missing the point. You need to focus on what has happened, and that word explains it all in just five letters. Have I got it right? Five letters? Yeah, five letters. COVID. Okay, the big story this weekend then, Kat, was the Project Veritas story. Apparently, Jordan Walker, I think his name was, he was going on a Grindr date, and he started spilling the beans, as people do. I do when I go on dates. I don't go dates with men, but I do spill the beans and say lots of exciting things, usually as truthful as I can, but as exciting as I can, because I want to impress my date. Now, I'm quite good because I don't drink, so I'm not really loose-lipped like Jordan was, who said everything that we all wanted to hear about Pfizer and what they've been doing and creating viruses so they can create vaccines to solve the problem they have created. What did you think about the Project Veritas story and what this Jordan guy said? And quickly, do you think it was all set? There'll be a lot of people going, oh, it's all fake, it's all set up, they're all part of the cabal, etc., etc. So I'm interested in your take.
So, Project Veritas has a history of exposing a lot of things that we should hear and things that they've been hidden. You know, they truly are doing the job of what journalists should be doing. Uh-huh. You know, instead of, you know, doubting what's happening, if the journalists or other people don't believe it's happening, they should do investigation on their own. So, you know, a lot of stuff that they do, you saw from that second video how crazy it got and all that. And, you know, it's undercover journalism and it can get pretty rough. I would say several of my friends, including Robert Malone and Dr. Lynn Finn, they've kind of dug deep into this guy, and he does exist, you know. And there is a history of these pharma agencies hiring someone kind of straight out of school, recruiting them and stuff like that. So that part is also believable. What he said, I think it would be naive of us to think that these pharma agencies are not doing something similar to it. You know, obviously that's not my field, so I can't tell you specifics of it, but I can see where they're trying to manipulate things because they are trying to anticipate. Because as we can see, even bivalent vaccine that they just approved, it's a Wuhan virus, which doesn't exist anymore. Uh-huh. And that BA4.1, whatever, it's almost non-existent. So the vaccines that they keep on giving us are for strains that we don't have anymore. So what's the point? So I can see where they're trying to anticipate what can happen. The problem is, again, let's go back to the movies. One of my favorite movies is Outbreak. And, you know, there are a lot of those virus movies, and that was like Ebola type outbreak. But the point is, things happen, you know, accidents happen. So for them to be manipulating something and taking it into different hosts and then putting it in another host, it's just disaster waiting to happen. So, there needs to be more oversight. I think an alarming thing that we are not talking about and a couple of Project Veritas guys kind of go back to it themselves too, is something that the guy said, Mr. Walker said, or Dr. Walker said, that once these FDA administrators are done working there, they go work for pharma. And that's insider trading, right? No one talks about it. Because when you're working somewhere, you know all the secrets on how you're doing things. And then you go to work for someone who actually is giving you products to regulate. You tell them what those secrets are. So that's really alarming. And it's happening on everywhere, right? That's happening all over the world. Is this giant that everyone knows? It's happening in military, right? In defense. You have generals and these people who were enlisted, and all of a sudden they go work for the defense companies and do whatever. So all these insider trading secrets are happening, and that needs to stop. Will it? It won't, because it's happening for so long. But it's very alarming, and I would say, unless proven otherwise, which it hasn't been proven yet, I would say that they revealed a lot of things that most of us were thinking it's happening, and according to this, is happening. So, you know, actually, I've become friends with a couple of Project Veritas guys because they asked me to comment on the video. So if you want to have one of them on the show, I think it would be good for you to actually have a whole conversation with him, because they're doing a job of journalists. And, you know, let's go back to the PSYOPs, for example. The reason it's happening is because our journalists are not doing their job. You know, during COVID, everyone says, oh, doctors are terrible. I lost faith in doctors. I lost trust in doctors. And that's well deserved. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for it. It happened. But the same thing is happening with lawyers. The same thing is happening with journalists. Every industry has abandoned its own morals and not doing their jobs. And, you know, I would love for journalists from BBC, CNN, MSN, wherever, to actually do their job and say, this is why that video is wrong. They can't, because they don't want to touch it.
And is that just because of financial interest, advertisers, subscriptions, money from the government in the case of the BBC? Or was there actually something more sinister that's holding these people back from speaking out? You mentioned lawyers. For 3 years, where have the human rights lawyers been? You know, they've been all over immigration in my country, and they probably are in the US as well, protecting people crossing the borders illegally. Yet there's been zero protection or zero calling out of our government and their actions and policies that are hurting the public. There's been no human rights lawyers out calling that out. And, you know, is it just money, or is there some sort of, you know, dark lord sat behind the court curtain issuing instructions that have prevented these people from talking out and speaking out and doing the investigations that Project Veritas has? Oh, and I would love you to get me somebody from Project Veritas on my show. That would be absolutely wonderful, Kat. Just get that in. Yeah, why haven't they been speaking out? And yet Project Veritas, who was censored, they're back on Twitter now, have spoken out.
You know, I think everyone is caught up in this thing happening in March of 2020, right? Or you know, everyone is like, oh my gosh, this virus came along and this happened and this and that. For some of us, and that's the reason why I always looked at the world, this has been happening, this has been planned for so long. You know, even if you think about it in the States, you know, the communism, they tried to bring it on kind of in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and then it went dormant. But when you really think about it, it kind of infiltrated our education system, it infiltrated all the government agencies and stuff like that. So BBC, the Trusted News Initiative, right? They're getting money from the government, from WHO, from WEF, and they're towing the line. You know, they're doing what their masters tell them to do. And that's why there is no true journalism anymore. And the same thing goes for lawyers and industries, you know, doctors, medical groups. you know, association of AMA, for example, or these different groups. And the same thing is probably true with you guys in UK. I don't know what you have, MHRA or whatever. I don't even remember all those initials. But they're getting money from pharma, from different things, even Oscars. I don't know if you remember that big hit where was the guy hit the other comedian that was hosting.
Will Smith and Chris. Was it Chris Rock and Will Smith? Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, supposedly he hit him for the attack on his wife, and his wife had her hair, in my opinion, shaved. Supposedly she had alopecia. So when people have alopecia, and I don't know, you know, her medical history, so I'm not going to go there, but I can just tell you something. When people have alopecia, true alopecia, right, when they don't have hair, there are patches where you're missing hair. You don't miss hair uniformly. It just doesn't happen. You're like, you might miss it here, in the back, in the front, whatever. You don't miss it all over. When you look at her hairline, it was uniform. But interestingly, during, I don't know about you guys, but during Oscars in the United States, there was an ad about alopecia drug. And there was who sponsored Oscars? Pfizer. So it's like, I swear to you, it's like watching a movie and you're just like, for the ones who see it, we are laughing at it, but others are not seeing it. And that's kind of, you know, where we have to try to point these little idiosyncrasies and say, hey, look at this. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, the Will Smith incident when he slapped Chris Rock, I was incredibly suspect and suspicious of that particular event. And if anyone sort of thinks similar about the videos that were produced by Project Veritas over the weekend, I've watched an entire clip yesterday. It was about 15 minutes worth of video. Most of it hasn't been seen on Twitter. The Jordan Walker guy was clearly, in my opinion, panicked and distressed, was acting incredibly irrationally. He was stopping cars that had nothing to do with Project Veritas, trying to stop people leaving this restaurant's car park. I having seen that actually convinced me that I believe the video to be true. The media blackout that's come in since, you won't find very many stories anywhere about what actually went on. There is one on RT that I have found in which they are stating Pfizer confirmed that they do directed evolution. So go and seek out the full video if you're unconvinced by what Project Veritas have put out. That may change your mind and you may realize actually this was a genuine piece of journalism. Okay, we're going to a quick break. When we come back, I'll be talking to Catelyn Lee. We'll carry on talking about COVID, but I want to put a bit of focus on the vaccines, vaccine injuries, excess deaths. What can we see going ahead in the future? And plus her own real world experience that I'd like to ask for so I can marry that up with the statistics I'm seeing in the UK. So stay right with us on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Only 19% of Americans have favorable view of Republican House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy. So says the headline of a recent Mediaite story on a new CNN poll. Well, what the headline did not mention is that only 21% of Americans have a favorable view of the top Democrat in the House, Hakeem Jeffries. That was eventually mentioned five paragraphs into the story. Of course, there's little difference between a pitiful 19% approval and 21% approval. In fact, the poll isn't great news for either party. Just 27% say they think Republican leaders in the House have had the right priorities so far, while 59% disapprove of the way Democrat leaders in the Congress are handling their jobs. Also, 70% say things in the country are going in the wrong direction, with 58% of Dems feeling that way, a 16-point rise from last month. And when it comes to issues that Americans care about the most, I couldn't find the word abortion mentioned, not even once. Well, maybe that should have been the Mediaite headline. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
How hard is it to unlock your car? Not hard. How hard is it to shut your car door? Not hard. How hard is it to start your car? Not hard. How hard is it put your seatbelt on. People are still dying in car accidents because they were not wearing a seatbelt, which is stupid because it's not that hard. Smarten up, buckle up. Think road safety. A message from the Government of South Australia.
The CDC changed the definition of a vaccine just before the COVID vaccines were introduced. By their new definition, it means that yogurt could now qualify as a vaccine.
Crazy but true.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yogurt, as we say in the UK, could qualify as a vaccine. That's quite funny. I might make that a tagline for some of my tweets. Just quickly finish tying up the Project Veritas Pfizer story. Pfizer admits it engineered new COVID mutations. US drug maker Pfizer admitted in a statement on Friday that it engineered treatment-resistant variants of COVID-19 in order to make its antiviral medicine, and that they did in vitro engineering, i.e. they did it in a test tube to try and preempt future vaccines. Now, we've seen what's happened with the vaccine campaign. Just about everybody I know who's had two or more shots of the vaccine has suffered some sort of after effect, including heart attacks. These are waking people up. We've got excess deaths in the UK and generally worldwide across the West, where we are seeing excess death rates of 20%, 30%, 40%. We're seeing similar numbers in the drop of new births. How is this story going to develop with excess deaths? Do you think that it is actually going to be directly related to the vaccine program? And if that is the case, are the excess deaths going to stay the same? Are they going to stop, or are they going to increase into the future?
So the good news is that people, it seems, like generally people have stopped taking boosters. And what we have to realize, more boosters you have, more side effects you have. If you have followed early on, there was a couple of people, I do know who it was, they created this How Bad Is Your Batch website, and you could look up initially those first and there were several batches that people truly had very bad side effects, but most of them didn't have any. And that has to do, I think at the beginning, there was lots of batches that were probably not active, or they were, you know, not stored correctly and stuff like that. But what we've seen now is people who are getting boosted, they keep on getting more spike protein, more lipid nanoparticle, so they're getting more side effects. And we are seeing that, you know, you're seeing people who are having strokes, you're watching young athletes having issues when they're playing. You know, the population that was kind of made take these vaccines to do their jobs are the ones that we're seeing in public. And then we're also seeing a lot of patients who are getting, some of them have had 7 or 8. And that's what it is, you know, it's more concentrated spike, more side effects you're going to have. And they're very severe. You know, I have friends and who call me even from UK and from different, where they're having strokes, lots of myocarditis, lots of chest pain, lots of heart issues, blood clots. I was just, you know, looking at my Twitter and stuff. There was a 2-year-old child that died according to wares and different things like that. So we're going to see more and more. According to a friend of mine, this bivalent vaccine is going to be a real issue because of the way it was formulated. So I'm just hoping that people are starting to hear stories and that more and more of them are going to refuse to get these vaccines. And like you said, we're seeing it in these mortality numbers. We're seeing it in decreased live births across the world. So we're seeing it. Yeah, so this is another problem, for example. But then you have WHO, you have our government, you have FDA, CDC pushing it. So, you know, I think our jobs as human beings is to tell the stories as far and as wide as we can so that people who are still getting it are starting to see the same things that we're seeing.
I mean, you said, and I rubbed my face, I put my head, I literally put my head into my hands when you said, you know, you are aware of people who have had 7 to 8 vaccines. And I can't imagine what is going through somebody's mind when they're queuing up for their 8th vaccine shot in what, the space of 2 years. I mean, the propaganda has done an incredible job on these people. The WHO, I think it's either today or yesterday, have just announced that the COVID emergency, the COVID pandemic is still with us. We need this emergency situation to continue. I don't know if the America, if in the USA, if they extended the emergency situation in the USA for another 3 months. I don't think they have here in the UK. It's just sort of just been dropped off and nothing's been mentioned. It's just disappeared into the background. But it's amazing that WHO have done this when at the same time, it appears a lot of information, prominent doctors, medical experts who come way down behind, down the line behind people like you, Kat, are starting to speak out and get in mainstream platforms. Do you think, and this is a bit conspiratorial, a bit tin foil hat, there is an effort either by our mainstream media or the doctors that are appearing in the mainstream media to get this information out to the public? And by conspiratorial, I mean, are we being deliberately told what has happened or what is being done? Why the sudden increase in doctors speaking out? And where were they?
So first of all, you know, we have extended our emergency until April. And then in April, I have every confidence that the administration is going to extend it again. Second, I challenge you to see what the UK is doing, because I actually have a feeling that you are still under emergency, the same as we
probably
are. You, but everyone. The reason why is if we are under emergencies, they have specific powers as far as the government is concerned, and they get a lot more funding. So I think the world is under emergency, in my opinion. You know, like I said, I posted it on my Twitter page this morning as soon as I woke up, because it kind of came into my feed. But WHO is still talking that they just proclaimed that COVID is still an emergency. They also said they're going to, the reason it's an emergency is because we are transitioning and they expect COVID to get worse, which is not, by the way. The reason we have an emergency because there's a high number of deaths compared to other respiratory infectious diseases. So we talked about vaccine. Oops, sorry. Sorry. We talked about vaccine injury. So with every booster you get, your immune system goes down. So your body doesn't know what to do when it gets attacked by RSV or flu or a cold or something. So we are seeing lots of respiratory illnesses, but it's not because of COVID. Right now, at least in US, COVID is very mild. I have a couple of patients that have it, but it's truly like having a cold. So it's not because of that. But if you read their thing, another reason we have to have an emergency is because we have low intake of vaccines and we need to vaccinate everyone, right? So that's another reason why they're extending the emergency. And we need to improve data reporting to WHO, which means, yes, the digital passport is going to come soon, because they love to look at our data and our numbers. Oh, and one more thing. Sorry, I know I'm all over the place.
No, that's great.
There's a new ICD code promoted by WHO, and I posted that one on my Twitter yesterday, and it had a big response. There's a code called Z28.39, which means other under immunization status, including delinquent immunization status and lapsed immunization status. And that this code has to do specifically with COVID-19 vaccine. In the past, we have this ICD, you know, we said we have these ICD codes that, like, if you have high blood pressure or diabetes, that code will tell me what you have and in what state of the disease you are. But now they have a new code to say that you are not vaccinated for COVID. We've never had that before, and this is a form of labeling, the form of tracking they're going to have when they go towards these digital passports. So you're going to have a label of Z28.39 because you're not vaccinated. And that's, you know, I said early on, vaccinations, the vaccinated or unvaccinated, it's going to become And I'm going to say something that some people are going to maybe get mad, but it's going to be like a yellow star during Germany, Nazi Germany. You know, this is what this Z2839 is going to be. And we have to break away from that. It's nonsense. We do not have an emergency. We need to urge all our governments. You guys need to call every freaking MP on your list and say, stop the madness. Get us out of this emergency declaration. Because as long as they have emergency declaration, they're going to give as many new vaccines as they want. They're going to give as much Paxlovid and Molnupiravir that don't work. And they're going to keep on doing this because they can. So call your MPs. Actually, that's something I'm going to ask every single, you know, listener. Call your MP today. Tell them to stop the emergency declaration. We are not under emergency. People are not dying from COVID right now. They might be dying from different things because their immune system is down, but it's not COVID itself. We need to stop it.
And honestly, that's the best advice right now, other than a violent revolution. Hassle en masse your MPs on email. Call them out using their Twitter handle on Twitter, social media. Write them letters. Get a foghorn outside their house and shout. You've got to get the pressure and the story and the information to them so there can be no way that they don't know how upset you are. Kat, you've been a wonderful guest. You please get me Project Veritas. That'd be great. It'll be a bit of a coup. And make sure you watch Children of Men and make sure you pay attention to what Michael Caine says in that film. And then I'm expecting you to message me going, OMG.